thanking the founder of Growing in Grace, Sister Vicki Jordan-Williams, our favorite teacher preacher, for creating this opportunity for women to gather and grow in God. Tonight, the women of Growing in Grace will be discussing important issues and topics that matter to us, active, working, and busy women. This interactive Bible study is devoted to empowering women to live vicarious lives, not just tonight, but every single day. We look forward to great discussion, sharing the inspiring and transformative Word of God, meeting each woman exactly where she is. However, before we begin, there are a few housekeeping rules that we need to share. This is an interactive Bible study hosted telephonically. We must be mindful of background noise and each other. With that, we kindly request the following. 1, you keep your phone on mute at all times and remain on mute until the speaker opens up the line for questions and or comments regarding the lesson. 2, once you have offered your comment or completed your response, we ask that you please return to mute. And lastly, to make space for other women who may also want to participate in tonight's discussion, we ask that you please limit your responses or discussion to no more than 2 minutes. This will create the opportunity for more women to chime in and share or ask a question. Tonight's topic is confidence in His Word. We'll be reading and referencing from John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. Again, tonight's topic is confidence in God's Word. The scriptures we'll be reading and referencing are John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and Isaiah 55, verse 11. Before we jump in, let's pray and turn our hearts towards God and invite Him into our discussion for tonight.
Amen, amen. Father God, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we thank you for this evening, Lord God. Father, I thank you for every woman who's gathered tonight. Lord God, I ask, Lord God, that you open up our heart, Lord God. Let it be good ground for the word to fall on. Father, I anticipate right now that this word is going to fall on good ground, take root, and produce the fruit in which you would have her to produce in her everyday life, Lord God. Living victoriously, Lord God, not just tonight, just not on Sundays, but every single day in her life, as she walks victoriously with you. So, Father God, we thank you in advance for this word, Lord God, and we ask, Lord God, that you are invited. We invite you, Lord God, into this word, into this Bible study tonight. Have your way, Lord God. Say what you want to say and do what you want to do. And it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen. Good evening, amen. Ladies.
Good evening.
Amen, amen, amen. Again, I just want to thank each and every one of you for joining Growing in Grace. We have quite a bit to cover tonight. But before we get started, I want to lift up the name of the Lord and give Him a bit more praise because He has been good to me. Amen?
Amen.
So, God,
amen.
I thank you for being a good God, for being an amazing God, for being a God that I can count on. I thank you for being a God that never leaves me, a God who's never forsaken me. I thank you for being my healer and my deliverer, and I thank you for being the promise keeper. And without ever seeing the end of what you're going to do in my life, God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, because your word said it, that it will accomplish that in which you purposed it to do. So, Father, as we speak the word of healing over our lives, Lord God, in our homes and in our health. God, I thank you that it is done. And I don't have to see the final product, Lord. I count it done. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to give God some more praise, if that's all right with everybody.
Amen.
Amen, amen. So tonight's message is confidence in His Word. Confidence in His Word. And ladies, I tell you, this started with me. And so I'm going to share a little testimony with you all about confidence in God's Word despite the ups and downs in our lives, despite the challenges, and most importantly, without ever knowing how it's going to end, trusting at his word. So during my experiences with my cervical spine surgery with VA, it appeared that everything was going to go wrong. But God gave me a word, not right at the beginning, but in the middle of it, that everything was going to work out for my good. So to begin, let me say that the surgery went well. The surgery itself was a success. Dr. Urakov hit it out of the park, successfully fusing my C3-3-7 spine. However, following the surgery, everything for being transferred from the ICU floor to the regular floor, it appeared that everything was going wrong. Everything was rolling downhill rapidly. And as a result of those negative experiences, and in light of the agonizing pain and the discomfort that I was going through, siding with the pain clinic while in pain day in and day out, I began to experience just a negative mood. I began to feel depressed. I began to feel like this was not going to work out, that my procedure had failed, although I had gotten a report that everything had worked out. The negativity around me was causing my mood to fluctuate, or should I say, I was allowing the negative influences and experiences around me to adjust my mood. I began to expect that every process of my post-surgical journey would be a hassle and one disappointment. And I had even began to become discouraged about physical therapy. I thought that if this was going to go wrong, if my experience in the hospital was going to fail, if the experiences once I returned home with pain management was going to fail, then surely everything else was going to fail. I began to be nervous and anxious about not receiving the best care to assist me with fully recovering from my surgery. You know, needing to regain the full motion in my neck and in my left arm, I thought that it was all was for naught. But God, I went to see Jesus about it. I left the place where I was in. I left Capernaum. And I went to Cana to see Jesus about what was going on in my life, to ask him to not only heal my unbelief, but to heal my body as well. Amen? I began to speak life over my situation. And through the peace of God, through the study on the peace of God, the Holy Spirit taught me. He led me and then challenged me to believe. To believe without seeing the other side of my recovery. I had to possess peace. And that during the storm of not knowing the right now, that if God had directed me to have the surgery, I had to believe that he had not brought me here to leave me. I had to believe that the work that he begun in me, that he was going to complete it his way. And as saints, I tell you, he did just that. Yesterday was my first day of physical therapy. Most of you all who know that I wore a neck brace for 14 weeks. And last Friday was the first day that they had released me from the neck brace. So yesterday when I arrived at physical therapy, this is like slow motion, ladies. I'm telling you for real. It's like the doors opened slowly and the physical therapist walked up to the door and he called my name, Vicky. And for me, when I turned around, I had a praise party in the VA. Because standing there at that door was the best physical therapist that anyone could ask for. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. It's like God had done this just for me. He had ordered my steps. He had put Brian in my path just for me. Because Brian is one of the most amazing physical therapists in this area. People rearrange their schedules to get on Brian's schedule. And the way I know this is because Brian rehabbed my knee 7 years ago following a knee reconstruction surgery. And in that process then, when my confidence was low, I believed that I was going to always limp or hobble. But Brian gave me his word. He told me that I would not hobble, that I would walk upright again, that I would not limp, and yes, that I would wear heels once again. And at the end of those 6 months, three times a week, meetings or therapy with Brian, he kept his word then, and I believe he will keep it again. I believe him. I have taken Brian at his word. And isn't that what God is asking for us? Christ is asking us to take him at his word. And in tonight's message from John 43:54, the royal official did just that. He took Christ at his word. He believed Christ that his son would be healed. He believed him before he even left Capernaum, heading to Cana. And he believed Christ again when he turned and walked away, heading back to Cana. He was confident. The healing that Christ spoke over his son was done. And that is the faith. And that is the confidence that Christ is asking for us. That is the peace of God that we have been talking about for so very long. Over the past weeks, we've been discussing the peace of God. And my hope was to mold you all and push you all and make the connection between the peace of God, confidence in God, and that our confidence in God is peace. Or peace is our confidence in God. And our confidence in God and in his word is faith. When someone says to you, I'm not going to worry about this, or that I have peace concerning my situation, in effect, what they're saying is, come hell or high water, come what may, I have faith in the word of God. I believe what God has said. That is what they're saying, in effect. And that despite what it looks like right now, I have confidence in God. I still have confidence in God, no matter what it looks like, no matter how bad it feels. I believe God. In fact, ladies, I submit that your peace in the middle of whatever trial it is that you're going through, in the midst of that, it doesn't look good right now, is your faith. And your faith in action. You heard the word concerning your situation. You received that word. You believe that word. And then you've decided to turn and walk away going about your business. By faith and confidence, I believe that's what each and every one of us is doing. That every woman on the line tonight is doing just that. Amen? So when we look at John 43:54, we see that Jesus has left Samaria and he's walking into Cana, Galilee, which is about a 3-day walk, is actually what it is. And when Jesus enters Cana, he testifies that a prophet has no honor in his own country. And this is true. If we can go back and recall what happened in Nazareth, that when Jesus visited Nazareth, his hometown, the people were so upset with Jesus that they ran him out of the temple and attempted to throw him off of a cliff. We've read that story several times in the book of Matthew, haven't we? And so, having left Samaria and coming into Cana, Jesus was aware that the people were welcoming him because they had heard all about the miracles. They had heard about the miracles throughout Judea. They had heard about the miracles performed in Galilee. They had heard about the miracles that Jesus had performed. Even the one, the first miracle that Jesus performed, were turning water into wine. So he was aware that they were excited about his presence, that they wanted him there, not because they believed that he was the Messiah and that he was their Savior, but because they believed in the miracles that he was performing. But there was a royal official there who had confidence in Christ's word. And this royal, let me step back for a minute. Let me give you a little background about what's going on. This royal official had never met Jesus. He had no personal contact with Jesus. He heard about Jesus through the testimonies and discussions and chatter of the Jewish believers and unbelievers, and maybe even some Romans and other Gentiles who either witnessed Jesus perform a miracle and a healing, or themselves had heard about Jesus and all that he was doing. Now, let's bring this into the 21st century, which is what we want to do as disciples of Christ. We want to be able to apply the word of God to our lives. So imagine that the air was buzzing with stories about Jesus. Is he the Messiah? Is he a miracle worker? Is he a mighty man? Remember, that's what Romans were into. Conversations about Jesus and all that he had done was rolling around on every social media feed I could imagine. And that conversations about him was blowing up. Facebook posts were being made, and every hot talk show on television was trying to book him on their show as a guest. There was a lot of conversation going on about Jesus. So when Jesus walks into Cana and says to them that a prophet is not honored in his own country, he was reminding them and letting them know that I know you're excited about my being here because of what I can do for you. But even in that, with a royal official who had never witnessed Jesus performing miracles, who had only heard about the goodness of Jesus through secondhand stories, traveled from Capernaum, Jesus' home base, to Cana to see about a miracle for her son. Now, Capernaum is about 20 miles from Cana. Hold on to that, because that's important. Having heard about Jesus and what he could do, inspired this royal official to travel 20 miles to another city to request the healing of a man he had never met. But what ignited this man's faith? How is it that his royal official was believing in a man he had never met? How is it that a royal official who had full authority over this Jewish man was able to humble himself and believe that this man could indeed heal his son? So I would like to say that the seed that was planted in his heart concerning what Jesus could do was based on the testimonies and the conversations that were swirling around him all the time. The conversations and the testimonies about Jesus was compelling enough for him to take some interest in Jesus. The seed was planted because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans 10:17. That once that seed that was planted in his heart from all the chatter of all the folk talking about Jesus on a consistent basis had now become ignited. That once that seed was met by a need, his faith began to grow. His curiosity about this Jewish man became his confidence in this Jewish man. Now faced with the need of healing for his son, the testimony of the Jewish people in Capernaum were no longer just interesting stories or intriguing and compelling stories or turn of events. No, these testimonies became truth for him, solid evidence of what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and what Jesus can do. He needed his need met. So once the royal official heard that Jesus had arrived in Cana, he went. He left. I can imagine he was throwing things in a suitcase, packing everything up, and making his way expeditiously towards Cana, 20 miles away. And the Word of God tells us that he went to him, meaning Christ, and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. So this royal official had to believe, again, a man he had never met could heal his son. I want you to listen with your heart, ladies. He had to believe that a man he had never witnessed perform one miracle or heal one person could actually heal his son. He had to believe that a Jewish man with whom he had been raised to believe was beneath him could heal his son. Then I would like to add, thanks, that this royal official was stretched out on his faith. So I want to stop right here. And while I want to ask you ladies this question, have you ever seen your faith grow stronger as you've been required to believe without ever knowing how the situation is going to end? Amen. I have time for one or two women.
Start off. This is Sherry, and I would like to think that my faith grew in the midst of my mom's transition, and this just happened in 2023, and I happened to, have the pleasure of getting there. She was 3 hours away, so she was hundreds of miles away, and in the midst of that, she clocked out while I was there. And I had always had believed that I would be able to lay hands on the sick and they would be recovered, be able to lay hands on one who was dead and they, come back to life. I had that opportunity with my mom. Didn't know how it was going to turn out, but I did what I believed and knew God could do, because he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And that did happen. She returned back. She had stopped breathing. And we prayed, and we got on one accord, my sibling and my niece, daughter and my nephew and his wife, and we all got on one accord. She returned, and she died 2 days later. We had asked, for her not to exit at that point, because my other sister was on her way in with her daughter and her son, and we just trust and believe God. We didn't know how it was going to work out, but it worked out. My faith grew at that point.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God for confidence in his word, being stretched out on our faith and confidence in God. We don't know how it's going to end, but what we do know is what the word of God says. Thank you for sharing your confidence in Christ.
Someone amen. Else? This is Gail. And this just recently happened. My niece, she's a walking miracle as well. In her, let's say 11 years ago, she had a kidney transplant, and going through IVF, her kidneys start failing again. She had to give up the IVF. So I want to say about 10 days ago she called me because they had put her back on a kidney transplant list. And she was telling me that the transplant coordinator called her and told her that they went all the way back, and this is when she was living in two different states. There's a bank of, they keep the blood pressures, I mean their creatinine count. And in 2017, she was in renal failure. However, between 2017 and now, her body was, you know, functioning properly. However, they had to keep her on the list, which she didn't realize that they had kept her on the list. And then last year, her kidneys started failing more, and she had to go on the list about 6 months ago in another state. And the coordinator called her about 10 days ago and told her that they went back to look at her creatinine count. So instead of her being on a transplant list for 6 months, they went all the way back to 2017 and said that it was like she was on that list for 7 years. So they put her up at the top of the list. And on last Wednesday, they called her like at 10:30 at night and told her they had another living kidney for her. And she had a kidney transplant on Friday. She's just 42 years old. And she has had two kidney transplants with live kidneys, no deceased kidneys, and she is doing fabulous. She went home yesterday. So she is in full recovery, and that's a blessing because it's very unheard of that a person will have a kidney transplant and they are within 11 years apart and they have two living kidneys.
Amen, 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 amen. We praise God for your testimony and sharing with us. And I know that this testimony has encouraged a lot of women on this line tonight. We know that we all, well, not all of us, that there's some of us who have health issues or things going on in our body that we're waiting on God to do. And listening to a testimony like this, we're encouraged, it inspires you that your turn is around the corner if it hasn't come. Or someone in your family is waiting on God to perform a miracle in their life or perform a healing in their life. And this type of testimony encourages us that we hold on. We don't know what the end is going to be, but we hold on to God's word that he will accomplish that in which he purposed it to do. It doesn't always work out the way we want to, ladies. Let me be very clear about that. It doesn't always happen exactly the way we want it to do, but I can declare to you tonight that it will happen exactly the way God intended it to be. This is why he reminded Paul when Paul confronted and asked Christ three times, "Will you heal me? Will you heal me?" Christ told him, "My grace is sufficient for you." So I look at it like this. I've had three surgeries on my spine. This is the third surgery on my spine. And I could say to you all that my spine is not straight. It would never be straight. I will probably experience pain in my body unless God takes me home to glory. Unless God performs a supernatural miracle in my body, I am not going to have a straight spine. But this one thing I do have, I have the peace of God in my life concerning it. I have the grace of God that walks with me with it every single day of my life. That I have decided to take God at his word, walk on, and go on about my business. I have not allowed this thing to hinder me from doing what God told me he was going to do in my life. So I encourage you all to hold on, or first of all, grab these testimonies and hold on to them. Bank them somewhere because they could be an encouragement to you. If not tonight, down the line. So thank you for your testimony, ladies. I appreciate you tonight. So in John 4:48 or 47, the man has heard about Jesus in Galilee. He's gone to meet with Jesus to ask or to beg Jesus to come to his home and heal his son who is close to death. Now the man is begging. Imagine this, that he's a royal official. He's laid aside his pride as a Roman, as a royal person, as an official. He's laid aside his position of authority over Christ and the Jews. That was so not important to him at that time. He had laid down the racial and social barriers between Romans and the Jewish people. He didn't care about his status. He didn't care about cool points. He didn't care about whether or not the other royal personnel were going to pick at him or tease him. He didn't care if he was going to lose his presence of power over the Jews who were witnessing him beg this Jewish man for help. He didn't care about any of that. He was focused on getting to Jesus and begging for his healing. Humility and pride was not a concern for him. He was focused on getting a healing from Jesus. And having done all of that, I imagine this man is standing for God, standing before Christ with his royal robe on and all of that. Everybody is watching him do it. He's a Roman, and this is a Jewish man. And he's begging him, please come to my house and heal my son who is near death. And Jesus responds with, unless you people see signs and wonders, you would never believe. Now, I'm sure that was not what he was hoping Jesus would say in that moment. But in response to this man's faith, Jesus answered him. The royal official that, sir, come down before my child dies. He didn't care who was watching him. He didn't care about any of that. Putting aside the pride, putting aside what was going on. He was not dissuaded by Jesus' challenge. And despite being chastised by Jesus, the royal official believed. He begged Jesus, saying, sir, please come down and heal my son. And in response to his faith, Jesus tells the royal official, go, your son will live. And immediately the royal official takes Jesus at his word and depart for his home. Now that's a mouthful, ladies. That's a mouthful. The testimonies of the Jewish believers who walked and talked around this royal official in Capernaum became rhema for him. And without any miracle or visible proof, the official believed the word of Christ and started back home. That's not just faith. That's faith in action. That's not just faith. That is faith in action. I'm going to stop there. And I'm going to ask you, ladies, how can you follow the royal official's example of faith? How can you today, or how have you in the past followed the royal official's example of faith? I could take two women.
Hey, Vicki, this is Tracy. Well, just the other day, I was reading in Numbers 13, toward the end, verses 25 through 33, when Moses had sent 12 men out. God had told them that the land of Canaan was there. And 10 of those men came back and didn't believe what God had told them. But Joshua and Caleb, yeah, Joshua and Caleb, they believed. And they believed that they could take the land and the land would be there. And that faith and that confidence is what holds me firm right where I am, no matter what is going on, no matter how things are whirling. It doesn't matter. I believe the word of God. I stand strong on God's word. It doesn't matter who is occupying Pennsylvania Avenue. It doesn't matter what documents are being signed. I believe what God says, and I'm standing on that.
Amen, amen, and amen some more. And it's so important what Tracy just shared during this time that we're living in. The reason why I started the series on peace, I said to you all at the beginning of the year, is because I was receiving phone calls, text messages. Women had left messages on the email there for Growing in Grace, and most of what was being shared and said and inquired about was about peace. The prayers that were being set forth or asking me to pray about was about peace. And the peace was surrounding the election, the results of the election. Many folk were concerned about how things were going to be now that Trump is in office. But I said to you ladies then that your location is peace, that your address is peace, that the peace of God belongs to you. And that is where you are positioned. And we don't give up our position of peace. We don't move from our address called peace. We stand our ground and not allow the enemy to assault us or to breach our place called peace. And that is standing your ground. Not in our own energy or not in our own selves, but because the greater one lives on the inside of us. Because the Holy Spirit lives big and large on the inside of us, we have the power and the authority over every enemy. We have the power and the authority to stand against fear and anxiety and intrepidation. We have the authority and the power and our confidence in the word of God to believe exactly what it says when he said that I shall provide every one of your needs according to my riches and glory. When he says that I've never seen the seed begging for bread. God has never left us. He's never forsaken us, and he never will. And we have to remember that everything that was made by God and for God. And without him, nothing was made that was made. And so I say to you all that though the Lord has allowed this thing to be, we have to believe that he will work it out for our good. We don't know what the end's going to be, as the old saints was going to say, but we know that we can hold on to the altar of faith. Our confidence is not in what Tracy said, whatever documents are being signed. Our confidence is not in a Congress or a Senate. Our confidence is not in who he's placed in the office or any of that. Our confidence is always in Christ, regardless of who is in office. Because we serve a God who controls it all. He knew that day would come. He knew it would come. And yet he allowed it. But God allows man. See, I'm going all off, but this is the reason for this. And I'm going to move the way the Holy Spirit is asking me to move. Y'all all right with that?
Yes.
We have to believe that whatever God allows, it works out for our good. We have to have confidence in Christ. Our confidence is in God. Our confidence is in the one who threw the stars into the sky, the one who separated the sea from the land, that God. And he's asked us, like he's asked Job, where were you when I created all of that? So now that encourages me to just trust in God. My confidence is in everything that his word says concerning our lives. We live in a fallen world, ladies, and good things happen to bad people, and bad things happen to good people. You understand what I just said? bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. Because we all belong to God. We have to believe that there's a purpose for what God is doing. It's no different when he said to Samuel, when the elders of Israel came and pressed Samuel over and over and over again, give us a king like all the other nations. Samuel was grieved because the people of Israel had always had a prophet or a judge to lead them in their way, that God was their bannerman. But the people rose up and told Samuel, we want a king. And in his grief, Samuel goes to God. And God tells Samuel, Samuel, they have not rejected you. They have rejected me. Give them a king. And in giving them a king, tell them everything that accompanies having a king. That their daughters and their sons would be slaved. That their profits for their land would belong to the king. That he would basically take possession of a lot of things that they at one time had possession over. That this is what you're going to get for wanting this king like all the other nations. So I submit to you ladies that as Saul was installed as the first king of Israel, we can read throughout the Old Testament everything that Saul did to the people of Israel. He drugged them real good, didn't he? But they got their king. But even in that, God never turned his back on his chosen people. He walked through them all the way through the process. He never left them. He walked with them. Though he was not pleased with their wanting a king, no, it was not his will for them to have a king. He gave them a king. Why? Because God has given us dominion over the land. We make decisions. We're not angels. We're not robots. We have the right to make decisions, create choices, create laws and legislation and build homes and businesses, make a family. He wanted us to be fruitful in the land, to be a metropolis. That was the foundational mission of God. From the foundation of the world, that's what God wanted. That's why he gave us dominion over the land. And in that ability to make choices, to create laws, to build homes and families and businesses, to build and fill the earth, man has a right to vote and choose on who they want to be a king. God doesn't step in and stop that, because if he does, he violates his character. God allows us to do these things. But be encouraged that in this, we serve a God who will never leave us nor forsake us. We serve a God that tells us that all things work together for our good. He didn't say it's going to always feel good. He didn't say it's going to always be good in the middle of it or in the midst of it, throughout of it. But it'll work together for our good. So be encouraged, ladies. Have confidence in Christ. And then like the royal official who had not seen his son healed, he did not know if his son had been made whole. Without any visible proof, the official believed the word of Christ and started back home. I encourage you all to have the same faith in action. To have the same faith in action. Because what Christ did is that he did not go to that official's home to heal him. The word of God shows us that Christ sent his word to heal that official's son. He sent his word. And I, like Isaiah 55:11 tell us, so shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it will never return unto me void, but it shall accomplish what I please and prosper in things for which I sent it. So having sent his word, the royal official believed and obeyed God Christ and returned home demonstrating his faith. I ask you all to do the same thing. I want you to believe the word of God concerning your life. I want you to turn towards home. We know where your home is. It's called peace. Return towards your peace and believe God. Believe what the word says about your situation. It is not enough for us to say Jesus can do this or Jesus can do that. We need to demonstrate and act as though Jesus can by going about our business like Jesus has. Like Jesus has already did whatever it is the word says he can do. Remember, I keep saying what the word says, not what you want, not just because you asked for it, and we should do those things. He asks us to come to him. He wants to give us a desire. He wants us to trust him for the things that we want, the desires of our heart. But be very clear that when God performs his word, it is based on the purpose in which he sent it to. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. And so, having not physically seen his son to verify if Christ had indeed healed him, this royal official departed, heading back to Capernaum on a word from God. And it says, the man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servant met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1:00 p.m, the fever left. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. The word of Christ was confirmed in his life. But the official believed God before he left Cana. Before he turned to head home, he had already believed what Christ has said. The royal official believed and obeyed, returning home. He believed that Jesus had the power, the authority, and the ability to heal his son, although he had not placed his eyes on his son. And so, ladies, the word of God teaches us to first believe, and then we will see. Ask God to open up your eyes so you can see him clearly, so you can see him better. And when this word says, this just came to me, and I want to share this with you all. And it says that while he was still on the way, ladies, that while we are still on our way, we're only a few weeks into this administration. But while we are on our way, oh, glory to God, I ask you guys, I ask you ladies to believe what the word says. Have confidence in the word of God. Do not be moved by what is going on around you. Do not be moved by what is going on around you. God has a plan for your life, and his plan for your life has not changed based on who is in the White House. God's plan for you has not changed based on who your governor is or who your state and national representatives are. God has not changed his mind concerning his plan for you, his good plan for you, based on what decisions are being made concerning your future, your job, your position, where you're going to be located. I know a lot of you all who are government workers, who are civil servant workers, have a lot going on right now, and we're praying for you all. But this word and this hour right now is so useful for you all, as it is for all of us, that I encourage myself and I encourage you all to hold on to your confidence in Christ and do not be moved. Stand your ground. Don't allow what's going on around you to distract you. That's what the enemy wants. I want to share a story with you all. In 1952, a woman named Florence Chadwick decided to attempt the 26-mile swim between the California coast and Catalina Island. It's roughly a 26-mile swim. Roughly 15 hours into her swim, a thick fog began to set in, clouding her vision and her confidence. Her mother happened to be one of the people in the boat who was encouraging her, rooting for her, and cheering her on. But as Chadwick began to swim and the fog began to roll in, she told her team she could not swim anymore. She swam for one more hour before deciding to call it quits. So as the thick clouds rolled in, as the fatigue set in, and because she could not see the other side, the thick fog that rolled in was blocking her view. And though she initially agreed to continue swimming, she swam for only one more mile. And after that one additional mile, she called it quits. And as she sat in the boat, she discovered that if she had just continued on one more mile, she would have reached the Catalina Island. She quit less than a mile away from her destination because she could not see the shoreline. Ladies, that is what the enemy is after. He is after your peace. That because you cannot see the shoreline, he wants to draw you into anxiety. He wants to draw you into fear. He wants you to be anxious and uncertain and wringing your hands and leaning to your own understanding. He wants us to focus on the problem, the fog, and not on the promise of God's word that we can, that he will. And that if he can move us away from our confidence in Christ, if he can move us away from the peace of God, that despite the fog, that we can do exactly what God has called us to do. We can complete the call in which Christ has called us. Then he can rob us of our faith. He wants us to trust only in what we can see, and only what we can feel, and only what we can control, walking in our own understanding. But I ask you all, I ask you ladies tonight, to hold up the blood-stained banner and guard your superpower, the peace of God. Because Satan is fully aware of the power and the authority that believers possess. whether you believe it or not. He does. He knows that if you are jacked up on your faith in God, that if you are jacked up on what the Word of God says, that despite what is in front of you, that you are saying exactly what the Word, you are speaking to the trials in your life, that you are speaking to your finances where the ends are not meeting, that you are speaking to your body that is not aligning up, if you are speaking to the sorrow that you are experiencing in your life, if you are speaking to the pain that you are experiencing in your life, or you are speaking into the uncertainty about what the federal government is going to do, then he knows that you will walk in the power and the authority that Christ granted us. He knows that you'll be walking in the power and the authority that Christ gave us as an inheritance. And that he knows that he cannot defeat you. Because at the end of the day, what he's after is your defeat. But we're going to remind him tonight that we are standing, not in and of ourselves, but in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit that Christ has given us. And with that Holy Spirit, we are going to allow him to lead and guide us into all truth. We're going to walk upright before the Lord. Even when we cannot see the other side, we have decided to keep moving. We have decided to not stop. Though the fog may roll in, we have decided to keep swimming, to keep rowing, and to keep moving and keep walking in the promises of God. I thank God for the message tonight, and I hope you all were blessed by the word. Amen. I turn you over to the moderator.
Amen.
Well, we praise God for that message. Thank you so much, Sister Vicky, for that. I was blessed by the woman of God tonight. Each of you ladies were blessed as well. I encourage ladies to continue meditating on this word. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you throughout the rest of the week as you head into the weekend and in our respective churches. And be reminded that our confidence is in his word. If you were encouraged by tonight's teaching, we kindly ask that you do two things. The first thing, share this word of encouragement with another woman. And the second, invite a friend. Invite them to connect with Growing in Grace and join us next time by forwarding the weekly marketing text that you receive from Growing in Grace each week. If you want to leave a comment about tonight's message, please feel free to text your comment to Growing in Grace. It's the same number in which you guys receive the weekly invites. If you are in need of prayer, please reach out and contact Growing in Grace using the email address at growing2025@gmail.com. Again, that's growing2025@gmail.com. I now turn it back over to Sister Vicky Jordan Williams for important announcements and our closing prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. The only announcement that I have is that we'll be meeting again in 2 weeks, lady. So that will be February 27th at 7 p.m. I ask you all to bring a lady to the line with you, each one. Bring one as we continue to grow, growing in grace, encouraging one another, and sharing our testimonies, lady. It's so important for us to be vulnerable and share our testimonies here on Growing in Grace, because we know that the Word of God says that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And if we go back and parlay that with the testimonies and the conversations of the Jewish people that were swirling around during that time about what Jesus was doing. They were sharing all of these wonderful things about the miracles that Jesus was performing. that those are testimonies. People are talking. And just as you're sharing your testimony or just talking on your job very casually, that there are folk who are listening to you. Remember that you may be the only Christ or the only church that they will ever see. That folk are listening. Like the royal official, he was listening. He may not have responded immediately, but he responded when that need set in. And I can guarantee you that there are several women on this line who've experienced that, that on your job, in your office, minding your own business, you just simply said, God is good. Oh, praise God. Thank God for this. They see you. They know you. Your light is shining so brightly. They see the confidence of Christ all over you, but they never say anything to you. But when they found out something had happened in their lives, when they received that bad report, or when they received, you know, information about losing their job or the health of their child, they couldn't wait to corner you in that bathroom or wait for you in that parking lot to ask you for prayer. Because that seed that was planted, when you were casually discussing the Word of God, met that need. And when that seed was met by need, their faith and confidence in Christ began to grow because of what you did. So share your testimonies on your job, or at least hold up the bloodstained banner, because someone is listening. Amen. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you so much, Lord God, for who you are and for what you are in our lives. I thank you, Lord God, for the word that's gone forth tonight. Father, I thank you that each and every woman, Lord God, is leaving this night with confidence in your word. And as we spend our time with you, Lord God, getting to know you, Lord God, growing in our intimacy with you, Lord, unveiling ourselves to you, Lord God, standing naked, completely and fully naked before you, Lord God, that we have trust and believe that you're going to do exactly what you said you're going to do. We believe that you're going to provide every one of our needs. We believe, Lord God, that by your stripes that we are healed. We believe you, Lord God, that you would never leave us nor forsake us, Lord God. We believe those things because you said it, and your word would never return to you void, Lord God, for you are not a man that you should lie. So, Father, we thank you so much for being such a good God, for being a promise keeper, for being our God, in the name of Jesus. So, Father, with that confidence and with that trust in you, Lord God, we stand tall and we stand on your word, being fully confident, Lord God, that we will never fail, and that whatever it is that we're going through, Lord God, we know that you have already devised a plan and a way of escape for us. So, Father, we hold up our heads, being fully confident, walking in our faith, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray this prayer, and I ask that you watch over your daughters as they leave this line. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Ladies, I want to remind you all that the text message that you receive, the marketing material from, you can reply to that text for anything you want to say to Growing in Grace. And it comes to just Growing in Grace. It's not for public consumption. So you can use that text number to reach out to Growing in Grace. Thank you guys for your patience with me tonight and as I worked through this message. And I love each and every one of you. Amen. And I see you in 2 weeks. Good night.
Good night. Love you.
Good night. Good night.